This computer. There we go. Recording is started. And let's see, where are we now? We're at, oops, I'm not sharing the screen. Okay, so hello, everybody. This is Vance Stevens. I'm in Penang, Malaysia. Oh, but I should probably put it, well, it doesn't matter. This is a recording for Learning Together. This is Learning Together, episode 473, this 18th of June, 2020. And it's Talon, Teaching and Learning in Isolation, webinar number 27. It's quite a lot we got here. Lane was one of the first who did a presentation for us. So having said that, I'm going to get the Facebook stream started. So let me just pop, get that on, live on YouTube, live on YouTube. I've already got a queue. Let me just go ahead and go live. Oh, it does this. Sometimes it stops. So give me a minute here. I don't know, Heike, why don't you kick it off beyond that? And
if I may just start with just one kind sort of request of yours, because we would like to listen to Vance presenting. And whilst he's presenting, we'd like to everyone to mute. And if you mute yourself now, what I'll do is I'll because it's about Zoom bombing, obviously. And if we did have a Zoom bomber in here now, the one thing he would use is he or she would unmute themselves and start speaking rubbish, yeah, just distracting or just, you know, disturbing.
It's a possibility.
And so what I do now in the settings is I uncheck the allow participants to unmute themselves functionality, which is a little bit hidden in the options possibility. So mute all, which I could do now with you all, so I mute all, doesn't do the trick. I really have to disable the unmuting possibility for you. So allow participants to unmute themselves. I am disabling this now, so you won't be able to unmute yourself. But what you could do is you could raise a hand or type in the text that you would like to comment on things in voice, and then obviously we'll give you speaking rights. If that's okay with you for now, then over to you, Vance.
Okay, well, what I had done is I had set up the stream, but I've seen this before with Facebook. When you set up the stream, it doesn't, if you leave it sitting there, it doesn't actually go live. So what I'm going to do now, I'm almost there to where I'm setting up the description and the title. I'm doing that right now, again, I should say, and I'm hitting go live right now, and it's really dark blue, and now it's going live. So,
would you like me to repeat this just now for the live stream?
No, it's okay because.
Okay.
You could. You can tell us what you've done if you want.
You can repeat it if you want to.
Okay. Let's see. Let's see where we are here. Okay. I'm doing a lot of different things, as you can imagine. Simone has just joined us. Welcome, Simone. And what's happened here is we're modeling kind of how you could run a Zoom session without, well, and setting up your defenses against Zoom bombers. And Heike has just done something that I never do. I set in my settings that we start the we force everybody to go through a waiting room. Heike has released that, and she's going to explain why she did that. But that's one of the defenses, is you can set up a waiting room. There are other defenses that we've also set up. In fact, it would be really nice if we had any Zoom bombers who wanted to join us now and test our defenses. That would be just remarkable. In any event, what we've done is we've started the recording in both places. We're broadcasting to Facebook Live, I believe. Just double check that. Yes, I believe we are. And we're also recording this in the Zoom recording options. So Heike has just asked me to start presenting, but I thought Heike was going to start presenting. Not that it matters, we're very relaxed here. I could do it if you like. I can present. I've got about a 20, 25 minute showing what we do, or what I do anyway, to set my settings. So, hi, Marianne. How are you? And your Heike has just muted you. She's set everybody to mute. Is that correct, Heike? You've muted everybody.
Well, it's actually the mute all was already clicked. Must have been clicked by you, Vance. Did you?
I didn't click it, but I set to mute everybody on entry.
The mute all for me, it is blue. So the mute all is checked. And what I did was I went into the little three dots on the right hand side of these invite, mute all, unmute all. And then under these three little dots is the option allow participants to unmute themselves.
Okay.
Because we can try this out now if you like. So I'll enable that again. So even if you said mute all, this would not stop people to now be able to unmute themselves.
Yes. Yeah, that's the way I like to run my webinars. I like for people to be able to unmute themselves. But then if I...
Yeah, me too. Mind you. But during a presentation, this is the option what Zoom Bomber is using.
Yes, I have set in the settings I'm going to show people eventually, where you mute everybody on entry. And you also set where once you've unmuted them, once you've muted them, they can't unmute themselves. So I did set that. I don't. Would anybody like to try their unmute and see what you can do?
But it wasn't set just now. I did it manually. Yeah, I'm afraid.
Well, but the question is, can they unmute themselves? Chris has unmuted himself.
Hi, Chris. Well, just now I enabled that functionality again.
Okay.
Manually myself.
Okay. And Marianne has unmuted herself. That's good. Okay, so, well, I guess what we're demonstrating, we got a co-host here. So co-hosting, we got people doing, that's one hand here and doesn't know what that hand is doing, and there's another hand. Okay, so, but it's okay. The idea is that you have the ability to mute everybody on entry. You have the ability to set it so that that participants cannot unmute themselves. And then you set the unmute all. Is that what you did, Heike, or did you mute everybody?
No, I simply unchecked the allow participants to unmute themselves option. I checked it again.
And you have...
So I allowed them.
Okay, and you had this in the more part, which is... Let's see,
exactly.
I've just expanded my stream. I don't have anything under more. Let's see, under participants. It's under participants, or where is it?
No, it's do you see underneath the participant grid is
there? Yes, the ellipses there. Okay. So yes, mute participants on entry, allow participants to unmute themselves. Okay.
That's the one I unchecked earlier.
Okay. I didn't actually cover that in my that's really nice. Let me just make a screenshot here. Okay, so I'm gonna use this. All right.
And this is the one when I discovered that functionality, which I wasn't aware of, and I did mute all, you know, of course you do it during presentation as a host, you just click on mute all. And I was forever surprised that people were still be able to open their mics. It didn't do the trick. Those who came late, their mics were open. And I'm thinking, how come the mics... See, and that's when I eventually discovered that under the little three dots in the settings and unchecked it.
Okay.
And that is when I was able to undo the waiting room. I was able to undo any disturbance during the presentations. I was then able to, at the end of a presentation, to say, okay, now everybody, would you like to join in a discussion? And I checked this again, and then everybody was able to unmute themselves. That was, for me, the big revelation in Zoom, to be able to be free.
Yes, that's really great. That's really great. Well, we call this learning together, because that's what we do. We learn together. So Heike and I have been learning together for a long time. And I love learning from Heike. She's so knowledgeable. And of course, I'm sort of knowledgeable. So she learns a little bit from me. But what the way we set this up is Heike started out, I think, by preparing a document, which is, it's in the show notes, which you've probably got on learningtogether.pbworks.com. So in those show notes, or on Talon, there's a link to that, Talon, tinyurl.com/Talon2020. That will take you to also a link that takes you to our show notes. So Heike started out by making a document, which I don't know if you want to start talking about that, Heike, or if you want me to show mine, because what I did, I couldn't really understand Heike's document that well until I'm very meticulous. So I've got to do things step by step. So I just went into my Zoom screenshots and I made screenshots of everything I could see there. And I set it up the way I thought it should be. And that's what I'm planning to show you. That's my presentation. If you want, I can get started on that. Please. You want me to get started on that?
Please go ahead. Wonderful.
Okay. Well, let me show you that. Does anybody have any questions? So as long as you've got the ability to use the mic. Hi, Nancy. Hi, Lucy. Lucy is here. Okay. And we're very informal here. So we like for people to talk to us if you want to. Don't mind if you ask questions. And so just feel free to unmute a mic if you have that ability and just talk to us. But what I'm going to show you then is how, and also I should say before we start that I came on this because in the TESOL, in my TESOL lounge, there was a webinar that experienced the Zoom bomber. Now I myself, when speaking with Nick Peachy recently, experienced a Zoom bomber, and I didn't know all I know now about Zoom bombing, but Heike was there, which was very helpful. And like, for example, I hadn't set a co-host. I didn't know about that when I was doing Nick. So, but I did know about the waiting room. And so after that happened, we were able to manage it, I should say. We got rid of the Zoom bombers, but and Nick did a normal presentation. But I looked into it very seriously. And by that, I mean, I took the screenshots of all my Zoom settings, and I just went through them bit by bit. Now, I produced a document. Let me just go ahead and share my screen here. So let's see, which screen do I want to share? I guess this one. Okay, so I'm sharing the screen, which is this one. This is my slideshow. Let me go up to this. This is, I'm going to click on this link right here. Yes, there you go. This is the document. You just feed back to me if you can see this okay.
We can see this fine. Lovely.
Yeah, this is the document I produced. And this document is where I took screenshots. It's got a little bit there I've added about the presentation today. I've got a table of contents, so you can search here and you can find all this links to all the settings here. But basically, I'm going to show you this in a PowerPoint because it's much better organized, but I've taken it from the settings page by page. And when you start opening your settings, this is what you see first. And so this document shows you page by page what to set. So the in the document, it's all there. So what I've done though, is I've done this presentation. This presentation, let me just present the presentation, if I can find the present button here. The chat was over it. Okay, so there we go. So there's what we're talking about tonight. Heike and I are talking about how to effectively diffuse Zoom bombers. And I do this as part of Learning Together, which is my own little personal thing I've been doing for 10 years now. And also something I started recently, Talon, Teaching and Learning in Isolation. And that's just in response to what's been going on in the world and the pandemic, teachers having to teach like this. So the document I just, I'm going to show you in a minute how you can get these slides. This is how you can get these slides. I set up, you can do this now if you want. You can go to tinyurl.com for the slides, it's /Zoom2020Vance. And for the document that you saw, it's /Vance2020Zoom. This is tinyurl.com. So if you go to either of those places, you'll get the documents linked to one another. if you want to see the slides, I think the slides are more logical because they're presented in a logical order. So we're going to talk first about general settings that are best practice for all of your meetings. That's the parts of the slides that are like that. And security settings that you have to set before you launch your meeting. So those are the things that when people are Zoom bombed, they often don't know about those settings that you have to set in advance. And the security settings that you can then adjust during your meeting. So the ones that Heike just showed us, for example. And then I'll just mention a couple of other settings that people don't really know about, like setting up the background, the funny background. That one has to be set in advance, or if you want to do breakout rooms, you have to set breakout rooms in advance. So basically on this one, the text and the slide documents lead to one another. So if you want, and if you want to ask me if I'm talking, if I go on from the slide, you want to ask me, what was that URL again? You can see that. And also I should point out that at the bottom of each URL, I went ahead of the slide, I didn't mean to do that, but at the bottom of each URL, there's a link which takes you back to the text document for more information. So just to start out, let me see if I can change my view here. Okay, there we go. Yeah, I've got a good view now. Okay, so the settings I'm talking about are if you go to Zoom URS, as you can see there, and you click on, and you log in. If you log in, then you can see my account. You click on my account, it takes you to another window. So if you follow this over to the left here, when you click on my account, you see your profile page, and at the bottom of that, there's settings. If you click on settings, it opens up a new window, which is the one you see in the bottom right of the screen, and that's where you have meetings, recordings, or telephone. You can set those settings. And we're talking here about the meeting settings. So if you're not following that, it's okay. You can find the slides later, and you can see exactly where we are. Or do we have any questions before I go on? Do you know where we are? Or do you need to know anything further?
Actually, I'm also texting. And I'm asked, for one thing, I've pasted the tiny URLs in the text chat. I've also asked people whether they have experienced Zoom bombing and whether, and one said no, they both didn't have, but one of them has heard much about it. So I said, mm-hmm. What have you heard? And then there was whether everyone has a Zoom account, because mm-hmm. whatever you're showing only makes sense for those who do have their mm-hmm. own Zoom accounts.
And Lane has just asked a question which we're going to come on to in a moment. So Lane, when we get to that point about the video, I don't know if I can answer this question right away, but let's go on in my presentation and we'll talk about it when we get there. So these are basically the general settings that I set up for all my meetings, no matter how important they are. The first thing you should know is you should not use your personal meeting ID for meetings such as this one that we have right now. So you use your personal ID when you schedule what's called an instant meeting or something. That's kind of like your phone number. It's like if you want to make a phone call to people, you give them your phone number, but not just anybody in general. So your personal ID really needs to be when you're scheduling a meeting. I set the use personal ID when scheduling a meeting off because I don't really want to do that. Only when I'm starting an instant meeting. And I always require passwords. So here again, at the bottom of this slide, if you get the slides and you click on that link, then you can see more information about that. But that's where it is. I'm going to go through the slides because unless you have questions, you're welcome to ask at any time. But I just want to run through the slides so that you'll have it all there, or you can see it in the slideshow. You have it all in any event. An instant meeting, Mariana asked. An instant meeting is basically if you just want to meet people, you realize you need to have a meeting, so you give them you can start a meeting in your personal ID. Or you can also schedule a meeting. You don't have to use your personal ID. But the thing is, your personal ID is not something you put out on social media. So your person, you can, now I have a pro account that might be, I might have different settings for people, a pro account might be different. Heike has one as well. So free accounts, I realize, don't actually have all these settings, but in any event. And then you might consider going pro if you really got high stakes. It costs $200 a year, I think. So in any event, you get a personal ID when you sign up for a Zoom account. You shouldn't really give it out to just anybody. Treat it as your personal phone number. If you want to create a meeting, you best if you create a meeting fresh. Okay, and when you set up a meeting, always set a password for it. Okay, so when you schedule a meeting, this is the standard procedure. You should, sorry, I'm having a little trouble here. There we go. Okay. You know how Windows does when you move Windows off so you can see what you're doing, and then it expands the Windows. That's what I'm having trouble with right now. Okay. So basically, I always set. Oh, sorry about that. I'm using my mouse for things. Okay. So anyway, participant videos are always set off, and host videos always set off. Mics are always set off. I set them all off in my basic settings because you don't want people to come into a meeting and their video is on. And you don't want them to come into a meeting with background noise. So I always set these things to off. Okay, so I'm not really sure. Videos, I'm not clear on. I think participants can turn them back on again and off again as they like. I don't know how you prevent that. Is there any way to do that?
Lane asked that question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I said, you have a control over the audio in Zoom, but you do not have control over the video in mm-hmm. Zoom. Mm-hmm. So when participants want to switch on their video, they can anytime.
Yes.
But yes. When they switch it on once, you as a host can go into the video of that person under the three dots itself. Yes. Like click on their webcam, go to the three dots, then say stop video, and then the person cannot switch the video on anymore.
I'm gonna go to my Zoom settings to see what she's telling us here. I have to stop my share to see this. Okay, so stopping my share, hitting the three dots. Oh, sorry, three dots under the, this is under the text, under the participants control.
No, it's in yes. their webcam images, their live images. There's the three dots.
Under
and there it says stop video.
Live images, three dots under live images. I don't.
If you hover your mouse over the people's faces.
Over the people's faces. Ah, the three dots there. Ooh, wow. I had never seen this before, or I had never noticed it before. But so you
and
hover your
when you. When you select stop video there, they cannot uncheck it by themselves anymore.
That's really good. Okay. So, yes, as a host, you have the ability to. Okay, I'll see if I can grab a screen here. I'm just going to do a print screen so I can have.
And sometimes it's said that, you know, people enter the room and they accidentally switch on their webcams or they switch on the webcams or. If you at the outset start Zoom with the option without webcam, then it discourages people to switch on the webcams. If you start Zoom at the outset using the webcam or the video, then people will get a little preview. It's like, you know, you can set your hair preview as they join. And so when they've already seen themselves on the webcam and set their hair, they're more likely inclined to switch on the webcam, yeah? Mm-hmm. So I tend to start Zoom always without video because people can switch on the videos anytime in Zoom. It's just, it discourages them at the outset or it encourages them at the outset. And then when I start a meeting like that, people still come in with their video switched on, usually the mobile phone users. And I keep, because of the mute button, I keep saying, don't worry, presenter. This person, even if they have their webcams on, it will not be on the recording because Zoom only takes the recordings when sound is attached to the video. You see? Mm-hmm. The speaker view recording only picks up when the webcam when that person is speaking. So if there's a live presentation with somebody being in the middle of the presentation and people come in and they switch on their mobile phone, wobbly kind of webcams, I quickly go there, stop the video, and they cannot switch it on again. And this disturbance will not be on the recording.
Okay.
See, because they're muted.
Yeah, okay. And I've got the ability, I think it's in the recording, to set a gallery view or a webcam view. So you've, anyway.
If you do gallery view, then the gallery view will be there, even though there's people are muted. But
yes.
I always set it to speaker view for presentation recordings. And then this is okay.
Yeah. I like to jump back and forth. I like to go, you know, show a gallery and then go to speaker. But that's my preference. But okay, anyway, so let me resume the screen share. And thank you very much for your comments. So if I go back to where was I? Here, I'm over here. Okay. So
Len's question is, she asked, is there a way to have a pre-message they see in the waiting room telling them to come in without video? I know you can message the waiting room only after the first person is waiting. Mm-hmm. Do those messages stay there for subsequent arrivals? If so, many questions. Very good questions. Thanks, Len.
Probably not. I would guess not. Yeah.
Well, my experience is that the messages stay. I've seen several messages of mine on, I've been looking at it on the iPad, how in the waiting room the messages come in. And yes, the first person has to be there for the first message to be able to be sent. Mm. That's true. But afterwards, and I use this often to tell the people, please, when you're in the waiting room, there's a presentation live, like Vance is presenting live. Please, when you come in from the waiting room, do not switch on your webcam, mute yourself, and do not disturb. There's a live presentation going on. And I keep writing these messages into the waiting room and let them read this and let them wait a little to read it because to prepare them. Yes. Very good point, Len. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry, Vance.
Yeah. No problem. Continue. I just stopped the share and switched back over to speaker view. I don't have control over that at the moment. Well, if I'm sharing, I'm not able to do that. Okay, so
please continue.
Yes, okay. okay, so anyway, basically we're still on passwords, and you want to be very careful with passwords. I require a password for all meetings. Require a password when scheduling meetings. I do that. That's very important, I think. I don't know. You guys seem to have easily found the password. I was careful about where I publish a password. I don't put this on Facebook or, but only in the Webheads and Action group that I. It's a group's IO. I put it there. I put it in on my websites, the two websites. So apparently you found it. I don't know if there are other people there who are not able to see. I don't know if somebody wants to check the Facebook page and see if there's any chat going on there. I'm not able to see that while I'm sharing my screen. But anyway, that's one thing that people can do if you set a Facebook meeting up or a YouTube stream up. Facebook is the easiest, I think. And also, if I record it, then I make a recording and I put it in YouTube, and so then I share it to YouTube. So there doesn't really seem much point streaming it to YouTube. But then I'll have two recordings in YouTube. This way I have one in Facebook, one in YouTube. And I can embed the one in Facebook in my blog post here. So in any event, back to passwords. Require a password when scheduling new meetings. I do that. And then also, I want to be sure that, you may not know about this, I want to be sure that I don't send out the long link, what I call the long link, which has the password, the encrypted password embedded in it. So I switch that off. So where it says embed password and invite link for one click join, I switch that off. I'm not really familiar with requiring passwords for participants who are joined by phone. I don't know, Heike, do you know anything about that?
The thing is that you can find out the password, even if you have that long encrypted link, you can find out the password in a meeting by clicking on, that is in the microphone, at the left-hand side in Zoom, you click on audio settings.
Okay, I'm gonna check this out myself.
No, hang on. It's the phone, switch to phone audio. Okay, switch to phone audio it is, sorry. Mm-hmm. In under the arrow next to the microphone icon, there's this switch to phone audio.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you find the password of the meeting.
Do you, okay, where is that? Do you have your webcam on, Heike? I see a blank
screen. I cannot, unfortunately, I cannot. No, I cannot demonstrate it in Zoom because when I screen share Zoom, Zoom closes, so I can't. Okay. So, but what you do is you click on the arrow next to the microphone icon.
Okay. Yes, I'm clicking
and
there.
And then it's the third from the bottom. It says switch to phone audio.
Yes, okay.
And there's the meeting password.
Okay.
Password 1510242.
I see. So that's the encrypted password. 410242. Okay. For the phone. All right.
Okay. Yeah. Because those on the phone, they cannot write the on Zoom. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Or Zoom bomb is what you call the password here. So,
Yes. Okay. All right. So
yours just says on your phone.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. That's interesting to know. I'll go back to that and put some more documentation in my documents. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I'll go back to my share. Thank you very much for all that. But if you, as I'm not really familiar with using the phone, okay. I usually try to.
Chris also found another way of getting the password. He says, click on the green shield at the top on the iPad and you can see the password.
This is in the text chat? Did you put that in the text chat?
He did put that in the text chat and the green shield for me on the Windows machine, when I click on the green shield, I don't get a password.
Okay, well, We have the text chat. I will take the text chat. Whatever's in the text chat, if you want to put anything in text chat, it's going to go in the blog. So we'll have a record of everything that goes in the text chat at learningtogether.net.
Okay, we'll do.
Okay, so anyway, if you don't suppress the long link, as we were back over here, if you don't turn this off where it says embed password with invite link, then what you get is an invitation which you can copy. And a lot of people just copy these things. They don't suppress the long link. And it says join Zoom meeting. And this, if you give this invitation out to anybody, then they all have the password. So whoever gets this invitation has the password. They don't have to bother with it, basically. So if you want to either you suppress it and then you get one that only gives you the password up to the room ID, or you cut it off after the question mark, which is question mark PWD, which most people can figure out that means password. So anyhow, so you want to be careful with that, because if you send out that link, then everybody can, anybody with that link can get into your Zoom session. Okay, so anyway, that's the things that I set up for every meeting. Any meeting I do, I'm just careful about this. Now, there are a couple of things that you need to know about that you have to set up before you launch your meeting that are actually serious security concerns. That's what I'm going to show you right now. First of all, as Heike and I are doing right now, you have to give, if you're going to make a co-host, and that's very convenient to do that, then you need to set that up beforehand in the settings that I showed you at the very outset. So you have to set that up. And having set that up, then if you go to more, I believe, in your settings, then you'll have the ability to set a co-host. Or no, is it in the security settings? I can't remember. It's in one of those. But anyway, either in the shield configure for the room or in the more settings, you can assign a co-host. So, but you need to set that up. Question? Okay.
Not so right now, sorry.
Okay, so the other thing you need to do, if you want to use a waiting room, you need to set that up beforehand. And that's, there are a couple of options there. The waiting room is where no one gets into the room until you admit them. Now, we only have 10 people in this room right now. But if we had 100 people, I think you might want to use that. And Heike has been careful in the past in her virtual roundtable. At some point in there, she said, oh, never mind, I'm going to stop this. And she was quite fine with it. So, and that's what she's turned off the waiting room for this meeting. But there are only 10 people here, so it's quite easy to police. But if you have 100 people in your room and some people start disrupting, then either you need to move them back there or you can kick them out of the meeting. So if the waiting room is, that's how I resolved the Nick Peachy problem. I moved people back into the waiting room, but I hadn't really set that when I kicked them out, they couldn't come back, which is coming up. But if you want to set up a waiting room, you can decide who to put in the waiting room. There's something about I don't do this, but if you're having a class, if you have a class of people, you might want to allow people in who are in your class, but you could also, if you, people are not in your account, then you can keep them out into the waiting room. If you set up a waiting room, it disables the setting to allow the participants to join before the host. So in other words, nobody can come in anyway. So there is a join before host that you can click it on or off. If you're going to click it on, it means, and you don't set up a waiting room, people can be there when you arrive at the meeting. But if you want to keep people out until you arrive, then either you don't let them join before the host or you set up a waiting room. Okay, so the next thing that people can penetrate your room with is the screen sharing. So you have to be very careful about screen sharing. This is my setting. Under screen sharing, I allow it, but I set it up at the beginning of the meeting so that only a host can share. So I believe that's probably the way it's set up right now, that I believe there is a setting that we'll show you in a moment, which will allow the screen sharing in case you want to turn it on for everybody in the meeting. Another way to turn on screen sharing for just one person is to set that person as co-host. But you can set up a screen share that where only the host can share the screen. That's the safest way to do it. Now, once you set that up, you can say who can start when someone else is sharing. You could allow all participants to do that or host only. You probably want to be careful of that. If you allow all participants, that's the next window here, if you let all participants, if you give them the ability to share, then you want to be sure that the host only can share while other people are sharing. That way, if a participant grabs the screen share and that's something nasty there, you don't want to see it, or inappropriate, I should say, then you want to be sure that you can get it back. So if you set yourself that you can get it back, then you can overcome someone's Zoom bomber's screen share. And if you set that, however, to all participants, then you'll lose control. If all participants can share, and all participants can share when someone else is sharing, then there is no control. That's really nice if you have a very tight meeting and you know all the people there. If you don't know the people there, that's where the Zoom bombers can slip in. So you want to be sure that in my settings, it's always host only can share. And then if other people want to share, I'll set that up. I'll let them do that in the settings that we can control when the meeting is going on. But these things you have to set before you enter the meeting.
Can I just say a word to that?
Go ahead,
because
Heike.
It's,
yes, please.
Because you've really mentioned a big problem there, because really for security settings, you should disallow participants to be able to screen share. Mm-hmm. And of course, you want them to screen share to be active in a workshop and in a class. Mm-hmm. So what the alternative I found during public events is that you co-host that person who wants to share the screen. Yeah,
that's what I said.
As simple as that.
Yes.
And that's when you still disable it for all of the participants. However, there's also a way of undoing any of these settings during the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're coming on that.
Are you coming?
Yes, okay. The security button, the security shield in the taskbar. So these are, we're talking right now. Let me go back to my share screen. Okay, share screen, share that. And okay, there we are. So we were talking about setting up the share. It's, Heike is suggesting, make it host only, can share the screen, and then allow other people to share. If they don't let all participants share, if you wanted to, you'd have to then make sure, I'm just saying that if you let all participants share, you make sure the host only can share over other participants. That's very important. So, and we'll show you, but these are things that you have to set before you go into the meeting. So if you get into the meeting and you haven't set these things, you can't go back and reset them. So the other thing that, another way that Zoom bombers sneak in is through annotations or through whiteboard. So for annotations, if here there are two settings, you can allow people to save screens. That's fine with annotations. Okay, I don't see any problem there. By default, only the user who is sharing can annotate that screen. So I've seen in other meetings where if you don't set that, then people can write on the screen that people are sharing. Mostly that's usually scribbles and the people don't even, they're just playing around with it. But there is a possibility for Zoom bombers. And the other thing is that for the whiteboard, I just turn the whiteboard off. I'm not sure how we get it back. Heike, do you know if you turn the whiteboard off, can people now use the whiteboard in this meeting?
I'm afraid not.
Okay. So then, in other words, you can't, you can't, if you don't allow the whiteboard at the beginning, you can't get it back. So if you want people to have a whiteboard, you have to let anybody have it. Is that right? As far as you know.
Exactly, yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay, another thing we have to be careful about Zoom bombers, I see there are two Heike Philps here, there's also two Chris Fries here. So Zoom bombers often come in under the presenter's icon.
I joined twice because I wanted to try out the password, which I earlier communicated. You know the one, the number?
Yeah.
Under the phone settings.
Yeah. That's right.
And I thought I'd try this out. And actually it was, who found out? Lucy found out how to find the password inside the meeting. Uh-huh. So, and we found it under the I for information in Zoom.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not the green shield, but I for information. And, I was wrong, you know, I was wrong with the phone settings, password thingy. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Well, Chris often comes in. Chris comes in twice. He comes in on his Mac machine, and he also comes on his iPhone. So he does that often. But it's also a trick for Zoom bombers. So you have to watch out for that. Okay, I'm just sharing a screen that we've got here. Give me a second here. So am I still sharing, or am I not sharing? I'm not sharing.
You're not sharing at the moment.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to my share and okay, so the next thing, am I sharing now? Ensure that removed participants are not able to simply rejoin the meeting. This is very important. When you remove somebody, that's it. They cannot get back. And
are you able to see the text chat while you're screen sharing?
Not very easily. I don't think so. Let's see if I stop my share. Is there something in the text chat I should be looking at?
I mean, in general, are you seeing the text chat of Zoom when you screen share?
No, I've just opened it. Maybe if it's on top.
No, well, if uh-huh. if you want me to show you.
I've got the screen chat. I stopped the share, I can see. Yes,
you have to start screen sharing to.
Okay, thank you. I will start screen sharing. Mm-hmm. And here we go. There's a screen share. All right. I can see the text chat now. It's when I present.
Oh, good.
When I present.
Then it's fine.
That's the problem. If I present like this, now I can't see. Oh, I can see the screen share. I've put the text chat up so I can see it now. Okay.
Oh.
I think I might have suppressed it because it was covering parts of the screen I was trying to present. Okay. Yeah, I can see it all now. So if you pop out the chat, yes, I can do that and resize all the windows. And that's what I'm doing right now. The only problem is I can't see the right side of the screen I'm sharing. But anyway, very important that you set up before you launch your meeting. If you need to remove someone, you have to make it that they can't get back in. So that's what this setting is about. Otherwise, your only option is to move them to the waiting room. If you move them to the waiting room and don't let them back in, they're also quarantined over there. Okay, so that's the things that you have to set up before the meeting. During the meeting, you have also some settings that you can deal with. This is the security tab that we were talking about. These are the toggles that you have. You can lock the meeting. I think one way some people run meetings is you can let people in and you can stream the meeting to Facebook, which we're doing right now, or to YouTube if you want to do it that way. And then once you've got the meeting going and it's safe, you can then lock the meeting and people who aren't there by then can just have a look at it on Facebook. And so that's one way to establish security. Anyway, that's there under the security tab. And you can also enable the waiting room or disable it. So if you want to put a waiting room in right now, it's possible to do that. You can just toggle it in. We've taken it out and we have just 10 people in the chat, so we're fine. You can also allow or disable screen share here. So we've disallowed it for everyone at the beginning of the meeting as a security measure, but we can also allow it for everyone. If we think we're in a safe crowd and somebody wants to use a screen share, you can turn it on for everyone. Chat, that's kind of inconsequential. I always allow it. I love the chat. It has great information there every time. And then people to rename themselves. That's also kind of an important thing. So just going on here, if you have anonymous participants, if you have a waiting room and you have people in the waiting room whom you don't know who they are, they come in and they call themselves iPhone or something like that. You could ask them to leave because you can communicate with the waiting room and return with some identity. Or if you want to let them in because that's impractical, then once they're in, you can ask them to rename themselves. And they can do that if you put the rename themselves toggle there. Okay, so, and that's almost done then. Do you have any questions up to now that you'd like to ask? Those are the main things. I'm just going to show you a couple of things that you need to set up that you might want to be aware of. What about the whiteboard, Chris says? It is an option when screen sharing, so if no screen sharing is allowed, no problem, but don't allow annotations by other people. Okay, well, Chris, do you want to explain that?
I think it's as simple as that, isn't it? That if you have no screen sharing, there's no sharing of whiteboards. So it's not a separate problem. It's part of the screen sharing problem. And then in an environment where you cannot trust everyone, you can't allow other participants to annotate anything, screen shares or whiteboard.
Yeah, there is that. I haven't really tested this out, but there is that one setting where if you are screen sharing, you can prevent other people from annotating your screen share. Now, you might want to have people do that, you know, and that's a typical class technique. So if you, in that case, you would, but you have set that already because when you started the meeting, you would have set that at the beginning. So if you anticipate that you want people to, and other people to annotate your screen shares, then you would, if you've got a class that you're familiar with and you can easily identify someone who's not supposed to be there, then that would be safe. But yeah, anyway, okay.
I think you can also allow individuals to share content by clicking on the green share content. Mm-hmm. If you're the host, you can click on that. And one of the options will be allow, and then you've got named individuals who you can give permission to screen share to, I think.
Named individuals, how do you mean? If you well, go to their
content as a host,
to
allow named individuals to share content.
I'm looking under more. I don't see where I have that ability, but I'll look for that. Maybe we can follow up on that. Okay. All right, let me finish my presentation, which is only a few more minutes, and then we'll come back to that if you want to show us more. Okay, so if I go back to my shared screen, the only thing I wanted to show you was that there are other things that you need to set before you start the meeting, and there are just three things. If you want to use a virtual background, you have to set that before you start or enter a meeting. Actually, I think it's for you. That's your background. Oh, and then the other thing, just beneath virtual background, I noticed that here you can identify guest participants in the meeting in case you want to label some people who you don't know as guests. That's also possible. But I would think you'd have to have a pretty controlled environment for that. The other thing, breakout rooms, if you want to use breakout rooms, you have to set it up in advance. As you can see here, I've just screenshot the settings. And it also, at that point too, you have to allow yourself to assign participants to breakout rooms as opposed to having Zoom do it automatically for you. So that has to be put in before you start the meeting. The third thing is if you want to use polls, there's a polling option and you have to set that up. You have to give yourself that capability before you start the meeting. There are more things actually in my document. I show you how to set up a Facebook stream or a YouTube stream. So you also have to give yourself the ability to do that. And when you give yourself the ability to do it, then when you click on more, where you now see text chat or something like that. If you're a host, you would also then see, you could start your Facebook stream or your YouTube stream. Okay, so, and there's the more tab. That's the more tab that I see there. And that more tab, I don't really see it very clearly because there's other things covering my screen. Okay, yeah, so you can see where I see, where I can stream live on Facebook or on YouTube. Because I've got a condensed window in this screenshot, I also have participants here. You can see that not in the toolbar. When you condense the window, some things go up into the More tab and they're not in the toolbar at the bottom. And I think that's about it. I'm recording right now. Because I set up polls and breakout rooms, that's also options for me. Okay, so, if you're using reduced screen, I often run these in reduced screens so I can have access to the rest of my desktop. So that's something to be aware of. Your participant controls might be in that other screen. So I'm winding up now. So this is Learning Together. It's something I've been doing for the past 10 years. It's at learningtogether.net. And these are the URLs where you can get the slides and where you can get the document that I've been showing you. And tomorrow, I hope, I'll be able to get the recording up at learningtogether.net so you can see the recording and also the Facebook recording is streaming as we speak. And there you are. So when I get the recording, I'll put it here in the slide presentation at this last slide here. This has been Learning Together episode 473 and Talon webinar number 27, it looks like. Okay, so that's really all I have to, that was my presentation. And comments, we've been learning as we go along, because Chris and Heike have been good about, let's see, let me check the text chat here. Does anybody want to articulate any questions you had in the text chat? Yes, streaming to YouTube offers closed captions. That's correct, Chris, yes. I've seen those closed captions. Stream to Facebook, and I think there's also, there is an option when I'm doing recordings from YouTube, I can also turn on closed captions. You should be able to get those. If you watch the recording, you should be able to set your closed captions, but I've always turned them on when I do the YouTube. And yeah, you can see that in Facebook, they do closed captions as well. Very useful for language learning. Okay, is everybody able to mute? Let me just unmute everybody. All participants are unmuted, but I see you're still there. Yeah. You're still muted.
Yeah, I'm still here. I've got to cut out in about a minute because I have to get to the same Zoom training Marianne is going to. We're learning how to use Acrobat.
Uh-huh.
Because we teach at a community college in Maryland.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And in the ESL program, and we went remote at the, you know, at spring break.
Uh-huh. Oh, how convenient.
Playing catch up.
Yeah.
You know, Zoom, we've been teaching in Zoom. So like, we're kind of like Zoom warriors. Mm-hmm. And some of the things you talked about are settings that our IT has put into our Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them we can override, and some of them I have to look at it. I think some of them we can't override. I think they're.
Mm-hmm. But at least now you're aware of them.
And I'm in the same situation. Yeah. Sometimes I can't. I'm also have a business setting, and some of the settings have been blocked by the admin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, so I have to look at this and see mm-hmm. some of the things that you talked about today, because. I haven't successfully used the whiteboard myself
mm-hmm.
because I can't write on it easily. I don't have a stylus. I just have a laptop. Okay. And
the whiteboard is a little trick on it if you log in with an iPad and use the stylus.
Yeah, so that I think would work. Yeah, so anything that I need to put up like on the whiteboard equivalent, I just do it in a Word document for myself. But I would like to have more of a whiteboard or a webcam, and then like a whiteboard in my living room, so I can
imagine.
Well, I, you know, we're all learning this.
Underutilized.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so, very good feedback.
Thank you mm-hmm. so much.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming. You're in Maryland. Yeah, you just told us.
I'm in Maryland, and yeah. You're this.
Just a minute.
Email from the TESOL, you know, gossipy little newsletter that comes out uh-huh. every day. That's where I found you. So
yeah,
like,
I'm great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's recorded, and everybody will have it whether they can come or not. So, that's kind of what I've been doing with Learning Together and TALEN, teaching and learning in isolation. We've been getting people, mm-hmm. especially at this time, since last March, coming together. And if you want to have anything you want to contribute, you're welcome to come to our TALEN page, tinyurl.com/TALEN2020.
Sure,
and you can suggest your own webinar.
I just saw a Zoom bomber.
I loved it. Yeah. I loved it.
Where? It could be Graham.
No, she's wearing a mask. You won't see her.
Wearing a mask.
Oh, okay.
Well, lady, folks, I have got to cut out because I'm like 2 minutes late. So I will chat with you guys again.
Well, thank you for staying with us for so long.
Okay.
Hey, bye-bye.
Lynn, I need to
chat, and I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. Lane, I did my first workshop on Tuesday, and it worked like a charm, thanks to you. It was awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for all the help you gave me. My office is transformed because of you and all my presentations. It's amazing.
And guess what? I had a workshop with, I think it was signed on, or 25. It came, 23 came, and 20 of them had watched my video and answered the form. But you know the form, what I did with the form? I used Mentimeter.
Ah, okay.
With the questions that I had for them. And as they were, and then I could see on Mentimeter already how they answered with a word cloud.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So when the session started, I pulled out Mentimeter with 20 answers on it already.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Oh, and that's
great. That is you. And it was, and I gave them, I think, 15 minutes pre-task. That was all that is needed. They came with an attitude, and 20 of them said, yes, I've seen the video, and yes, I've answered the survey.
Oh, that's great. It's great to know you didn't have to do an extra step, because I've done word clouds with their responses on a Google form, but I had to import their data into a word cloud application. But Mentimeter gives it to you.
Yeah, it's like Mentimeter for the participants. It looks like a Google form. Yeah, but thankfully. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
You have to have a paid account with Mentimeter. It's a bit expensive, but it's really worth it. Ah, thank you so much. It was such a blast, honestly, for me. It was such a personal stepping stone, a milestone that I've reached after 2 years of working this workshop format. It was
The key is don't give up on the pre-work. You know, people say, oh, they don't do it. But it's your attitude and the way you set it up that makes the difference, and not giving up on it. And eventually, they're all going to do the pre-work. So great. That's great.
Fantastic. Okay, I must go. I have a meeting.
Yes, I have a wife who's making signals.
Does she signal with the wine, the glass of wine?
We had our dinner beforehand. Yeah, so we're into the latter part of the evening now.
Da bin gleich soweit. Ich darf gewarten, die Frau Krüger.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. And we appreciate everyone being here. And let's see.
Thank you. Bye for now. Must go. Dash.
Okay, I'll turn all this off.
Bye, Lynn. Love you. And you look gorgeous. As a Zoom bomber.
I never saw the Zoom bomber.
It was a split second. She switched on that. Yeah. I won't say more. You can do it once the recording is off.
Well, you could do it while the recording is on. That would be even better.
No. You had your chance. It's in the
Maybe it's recording. In the Facebook feed. I'll just go back and have a look. It could be. I don't know. So
okay, bye-bye.
We do have some, yeah, okay, bye-bye. Nice to see you, Lane. Okay, bye-bye. Thank you, Chris. I'll go ahead and do an outro here. Chris, anything you want to say before we go?
No. I'm out of here too. Thanks.
Okay. This has been Learning Together, episode 473, Talon webinar number 27, and we're at the 18th of June, 2020, and we do these things often. So thanks everyone for coming, and I'm going to have to figure out how to stop this on Facebook. Let's see, stop live stream. Yes, that's it. Okay, bye Facebook. Okay, this live stream is stopped, and now this recording, over and out to Chris. Thanks for staying so long, and bye to everyone.